I believe tonight that the Spirit of God has a powerful word of release that He wants to give. A release. I know there are some among us that have had some dark days. Lately, they've spent some time in the valley. I believe this message is for you. I believe this will be an inspirational time of Holy Spirit impartation into your heart. Praise God. It's a race that we're running. If you've committed your life to Christ, it's a race. It's a long-distance marathon that we're running. And the secret to victory is wrapped up in one man, one person. The God, man, Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to begin reading with verse 32. Now the author of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, has just listed what is commonly referred to as the Hall of Fame of faith. He talked about Abel, he talked about Enoch, he talked about Noah and Abraham, Moses, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, and Rahab. Picking up the narrative in the 32nd verse, he said, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched," now this is through faith. Somebody asked me if I was a faith preacher, and I said, "Well, I'm not a doubt preacher. I'm not an unbelief preacher." Amen. If we're going to have mighty works in the earth in these days for God, we're going to need to trust God and have confidence in the ability of God. "Through faith they quenched the violence of fire," verse 34. "They escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness." Oh, they were made strong. "They became valiant in battle because of faith. Because of faith, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." What a testimony. God's deliverance was there, but they were ready. Like the Apostle Paul, when he came to the end of his journey with his head on a Roman chopping block, after spending many, many months and even years in Mamertine prison in Rome. And he said, "I'm ready to be offered." What an outlook on life. What a way to live. What a way to die. "I'm ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race and I've kept the faith." Hallelujah to God. "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented." And these are faith men and women of whom the world was not worthy. Glory to God. What a powerful testimony. You see, I want you to remember something I'm going to say to you right now. What God is doing in you What God is doing in you is bigger than anything that has happened to you. What God is working in you is bigger than anything that's happened to you in life. The world was not worthy of these great heroes and champions of faith. These faithful ones, these obedient warriors for God. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I want you to realize tonight, and I want to encourage you with this fact, that we are living in the days of God's completeness. We are living in the days of final restoration of all things at the time of the end. Amen. Your Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and He will send to you Jesus Christ, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." We're living in those times right now. We're living in the time where God is about ready to complete His plan. Hallelujah. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses..." I don't ever want you to think, child of God, that you're in this faith fight alone. Now, I know there's some of you that's been through the valley. You've been through the fire. You've been tested. You've had trials. Maybe the devil has attacked your life in this hour, but I want you to know you're not alone. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, many brave and mighty and noble, that have run the race before us, and they're standing and looking upon us as we finish our course. Glory be to God. They are observing us as we run the race, the long distance marathon of life. Praise His name. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Abraham, Abel, Noah, Moses, Elijah, Shikalabaha, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, and John. And they're looking at us and observing us. Every godly forefather that's gone before us is standing at the witness stand of heaven and watching us run this race, and they're cheering us on. Hallelujah to His name. The presence of God, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, is with us. We're not alone. We're going to make it. We're not alone. We might be down, but we're not out. Glory to God, glory to God. We might have had some trials, and we may have had some bad things happen to us. And we might have had some times that the devil's hit us with everything he's had, but praise the name of Jesus, we are not on the losing end of this race of life. We're on the winning team. Praise the Lord. There is a damnable spirit loosed in the church today, the spirit of Antichrist, that is trying to get God's people to quit. Damnable spirit loosed in the church today, the spirit of Antichrist that is trying to get God's people to quit, to fall out. Satan has two powerful weapons that he uses against people, and especially against the body of Christ. One of them is deception. You know, if I can make you believe that H2O plus dirt is water, I can kill you, friend. I can choke you to death on the mud. Deception. Satan wants to deceive us. And the second one is discouragement. He wants to discourage us so that we will give up the race, so that we'll quit. so that we'll fall away, so that we'll be one of those who will not finish strong the long-distance marathon race of the Christian life. And I believe that God, in this service tonight, this teaching class tonight, I believe that God just simply wants to encourage us as His people to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, to finish the race, to keep the faith. Praise God. Nothing that Satan has tried to do to you could possibly be bigger than what God is doing in you. And sometimes when we go through the fiery furnace, we go to be perfected. You see, fire not only burns up, but fire purifies. Oh, fire not only burns, but fire toughens and hardens. It separates the impure from the pure. Everybody knows that in order to make steel, you have to put it through the fire. You have to get the impurities out in order for it to be strong steel. You're not alone, child of God. Don't listen to that lie of the devil. Whatever lie that he's been telling you recently, that he's been speaking into your life. Child of God, listen to me. Don't listen to people any longer when they call you stupid. Don't listen to people any longer when they look at you and circle their ear. Don't listen to people anymore when they tell you that miracles aren't for today. It's a lie. God's doing more in your life right now, and God wants to continue to increase His activity, His miracle-working power in you. God wants to multiply things from heaven into your life more now and in the coming days than ever before. Don't quit. Don't give up. Press through. Hallelujah. Say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Praise His name. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has set before us a course, a chartered course for us to travel. He's determined that we must run the race. He's reserved for us in heaven a mansion, an eternal place where we'll be together again. Many of you may have lost a loved one, and Satan is using the sorrow and the depression of it to destroy your life. But I want to tell you something. We might sorrow, but not as those that have no hope. And if your loved one was saved, you will be together again. Praise the Lord. Don't give up, child of God. Don't quit. And this next verse, verse 2 of chapter 12, is my text for tonight. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, I praise You, Lord Jesus. I praise You, Father God. I ask You to anoint these lips of clay tonight to speak forth a word into the lives of these people that will equip them, hallelujah, to run the race with patience and endurance, to run the long distance marathon of life, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Encourage Your people tonight. Strengthen Your people tonight. Multiply things of heaven into Your people tonight, God. Impart a vision to Your people, Lord, tonight. And I would ask it all, giving You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Many people in these last days are going to be faced with one powerful decision: to quit or not to quit. To give it up or to endure. To run with endurance the race that's set before us. There's some good things to be said about quitting. If you'll look in your study time, you don't have to turn there now, at the 20th chapter of Jeremiah in the 9th verse. This is what that prophet of God said. He said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." That means I couldn't keep it to myself. I couldn't keep quiet. I wanted to quit. I want you to know that leadership in the body of Christ brings pressure. It brings accountability. It brings responsibility. Leadership of your home, same difference. Leadership on the job, the same difference. When God promotes you, He increases also the responsibility in your life. You've heard the old expression, there's no such thing as a free lunch. The only thing that that's not true of is that salvation is free by the grace of God. Other than that, that's true. When God promotes you in the church, He gives you added responsibilities. When God promotes you on the job, He gives you additional responsibilities and heavier accountability. I want to tell you something. If you feel like you want to quit and give up for whatever reason, I want you to know tonight that that is a sign of your success. Only successful people want to quit. Have you ever noticed that the full people want to quit? Have you ever noticed that the people that God uses are the busiest people? God doesn't look for some lazy fellow to give jobs to. God doesn't look for some wretch that He can send out on a mission for Himself. God's looking for somebody that's tried and proven and faithful. And when He promotes you, He's going to give you some responsibility. So if you feel sometimes like giving up, don't take that to mean that you're a terrible Christian, because you're not. It could just mean that you're anointed. It could just mean, praise God, that you are a success and the devil's afraid of you, and so he's putting things in your path. He's putting little roadblocks in front of you and obstacles in front of your path to get you to slow down in the race, and eventually you'll drop out of the race altogether. Now, the Bible said that we should lay aside every weight. Have you ever seen a runner on television running in a marathon try to complete a long-distance run, and that runner strapped weights on himself to make himself weigh more? Of course not. People don't want to run that way. Most of those guys, well, they'll take all their clothes off except their shorts and maybe a little tank top. And some of them don't even wear socks in their tennis shoes. I've even seen some on the Olympics run barefoot, stripping off every weight. And that will help us in the body of Christ today to keep focused on Jesus. Let's read this text again in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." It will help you as you run this race, this long-distance marathon of the Christian experience, if you'll strip down everything that isn't Christ-like, leave it behind. Everything that hinders you. You know, some things that hinder us in our walk with the Lord aren't necessarily even sinful. But if it even hinders us, we should leave it behind. Strip it down. Get it out of our way so that we can run swiftly. Amen? He said, lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, in describing this particular passage, I want to say two things about it. We've got to turn from the sin that's in our lives in order to be pure before the Lord so that He can fill us up with the vision, He can fill us up with His Holy Spirit to propel us into our destiny with God. But it's even more than that. There's oftentimes in our lives one sin. One thing that we don't want to give up. And Satan keeps dangling it in front of us. We're running the race. Now, have you ever wondered why they put blinders on horses? When a horse is traveling somewhere, so that the horse doesn't get distracted and look to the left and look to the right and look over here and look over there and look over yonder. And sometimes as we try to run the race of the Christian life, if we haven't turned our back on that one particular sin that has fascinated us and attracted us, Satan will dangle it off to the left, off to the right, in front of us, behind us, over to the side, to divert our attention to that sin instead of where God wants to take us in the race. And the writer of Hebrews is letting us know that if we'll strip down, if we'll leave the things of the world behind, the riches of the world, the deceitfulness of those riches, the cares of this life, if we'll leave it behind, and if we'll get rid of that one sin, that one thing that Satan has used against us for years, some of us, then we will be able to run with a depth of endurance that we haven't previously known. Heretofore, we've bobbed up and down like a yo-yo experience in our Christian life. And some days we're up and some days we're down, but that's not God's best. But if we will get rid of that one thing, that one attitude, that one flaw in our character, that one difficulty, that one problem, whatever it may be. And of course, we should forsake all sin. The Bible tells us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. If it even looks bad, we should leave it alone. But if we'll focus in as the Holy Spirit reveals to us the one major area of our life, a lot of times when we get victory over that one sin, that one sin that Satan has zeroed in on to use against us, and we get victory over that, the other sins that we commit in life will fall off because they were not the motivator. It was this sin that we had the problem with, and it produced other sins. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Sin, living in sin, is like wrapping your entire body in a chain of bondage. You can't run too well. Fact of business, most of the time you can't even stand up. You try to take a couple steps and you fall down. You take a couple steps and you fall down. But it's as we submit ourselves to Christ and repent of that thing, and the Holy Spirit comes in His powerful, mighty way and strips those chains off of us, glory to God, then we are released to run swiftly in the race of the Christian life. And then He says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. How do I keep perpetually high for the Lord all the time? It's certainly not because I focus on my problems. It's certainly not because I focus on my fears. It's certainly not because I focus on doubts and questions and strife. No, but I stay on fire for the Lord perpetually because I look unto him. Now listen to this. Where your attention goes, the power flows. Where your focus goes, the power flows. If you focus on your problems, if you focus on your disabilities, then you can never enjoy God's abilities. If you focus on your fear, you can never enjoy faith. Good God, I'm preaching good. Thank you, Lord. If you focus on your doubts, you can't never walk on the water. You remember the story of Peter when he got out of the boat? Jesus said, they cried out for fear. They were afraid. They saw Jesus coming. It was in the early hours of the morning, the fourth watch of the night, between 3 o'clock and 6 a.m., and they were out there on that lake toiling hard to get to the other side. Jesus had already told them, go to the other side. Jesus then began to walk on the water, and the Bible says it looked like that he would pass them by. And I want to tell you something, it was definitely Jesus' intention to pass them by. Because he already gave them a word. He already told them to go to the other side. And he was walking on the water to go to the other side himself. And the disciples saw him, and they cried out for fear. They became afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, what is Jesus going to say? It's not me, Peter. Of course not. Jesus said, come. Peter got out of that boat, began to walk on the water. He had his eyes on Jesus. He was looking unto Jesus. But then all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he began to catch the contrary wind. He began to catch the boisterous waves. He began to focus little by little, and that's the way Satan will do it. Satan will steal your focus off the plan of God little by little until finally your entire focus is diverted. What happened then, folks? Anybody remember? Peter began to sink. Now, Jesus didn't leave him there. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't leave us where he finds us? Praise God forevermore. Jesus, the Bible said, reached down and caught him. Of course, Peter prayed one of the greatest prayers in the world. He said, Lord, save me. Now, that's a prayer. That's faith, brother. I believe in my heart that Peter realized what he'd done. And he cried out for Jesus to save him, and the Bible says the Lord reached down and caught him. Master and his disciples is this: if we will look unto Jesus, if we will focus on Jesus and not the problems and the storms and the difficulties of life, we will walk on the water spiritually. We will be water walking disciples for God. You see, God wants to release fresh vision into the earth in these last days. He wants to pour out. The Bible says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. God's vitally interested in the whole family. Have you noticed that? But it's extremely imperative that we keep our attention, our focus, our eyes on Jesus. Because at the same time that there is coming, and even now is, a mighty river of the deluge of the glory of God being poured out upon the earth, at the same time, Satan is fighting with every effort that hell has to divert our attention from the call of Christ upon our lives. He wants to get us to quit. And the more successful for God that you become, the more responsibility that God gives you, the more that God uses you, the more opportunities you're going to have to quit. Sometimes in these physical bodies, we get tired. Sometimes we don't feel like preaching again today. I've preached four times today. For a brief few moments before I came in to teach you this Bible lesson, I did not feel like doing it. But like the prophet Jeremiah, it's a fire shut up in my bones. I've got to tell it. I've got to share with you and impart to you what God has blessed me with in my life, and to help you and to strengthen you and to challenge you and encourage you in the Lord tonight. Don't quit. It may look bad, it may look hopeless, but put your attention on Jesus Christ, who is the author. He's the author of our faith. We didn't make this up. And He's also the finisher of our faith. Now that word finisher, we're not used to that word today. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. But it has to do with carpentry in the sense that it's used in this verse. You know how there's the frame construction where they put up the walls of the house and they put the roof on and all of that? And then there's the finish guys that they go in when everything's almost done and they put the perfecting touches on it. Well, that's what Jesus wants to do to our faith. Oh, glory to God. That's what He wants to do. And sometimes, it's during that time of perfection of our faith that we seem to feel like we are all alone. That's why He said in the first verse, there's a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. There's a great legacy of faith that lays behind you. You're not the only one to ever have sorrow in your life. You're not the only one to ever have a problem. You're not the only one to ever be tempted by the devil. You're not the only one that Satan has ever threatened in the wee hours of the morning. And you wake up out of a restless sleep with sweat dripping off your body and every nerve in your body screaming because of the pressure that Satan brings on you. But you're not the first one. There's a great legacy of faith behind us. And Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of that faith. And the Bible says at the end of the second verse that He has sat down at the right hand of God. I want to tell you something, folks. When you're on the job, you don't sit down until the job's over. Amen. Jesus already knows how it's going to wind up. If you'll put your trust in Him, He already knows what the end is going to be. He knew it from the beginning, the Bible says. Have you ever seen that little television commercial about that Allstate insurance company where it says, "You're in good hands with Allstate"? Well, I want you to know tonight, child of God, that you're in good hands with Jesus. Put your faith in Him, your trust and your confidence. Keep the faith. Run the race. Endure until the end. Your Bible says, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And what it actually says, if you're saved, you will endure to the end. If you're saved to begin with, you'll endure. You won't quit. You won't give up. You won't turn to the right or to the left. And when it's all said and done, and the smoke clears and the dust settles, you'll be there at the end, shouting with a voice of triumph unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Shouting the praises of Almighty God. He that endures to the end will be saved. I believe God wants to get that deeply into our spirits in these last days. We're going to face some warfare. We're going to face some spiritual battles. Yes, you better get ready for it, church. God is not pussyfooting around, tiptoeing through the tulips with a bunch of wimps. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. And Satan's not in sympathy with what we're doing, but we are victorious in Jesus Christ. We can not only... We can not only stand on the premises, brother, but we can stand on His promises. so many people today, they want to quit. And the reason, one reason that they want to quit is because they've only been standing on the premises. They've been worshiping God from afar off. And they've never really identified with Christ. But my brother, my sister, when you identify with Christ Jesus, I want you to know that you've just joined up with the most powerful force in the universe. You've just hooked up with the winning team. Don't quit. Don't quit. God has sweet victory prepared for you. Praise God. Sometimes when you want to quit or you think you want to quit, it's just a sign of your success. It's just a sign that God's getting ready to use you a little more. God's getting ready to promote you, man. Second little point I want to make. Sometimes the more you have to quit, the more tempting it is to quit. The higher that you go, the more responsibility you have. The greater the call, the more frightening it becomes, and the more tempting it is to quit. When God raises up a mighty leader, when God opens up a great and effectual door of opportunity for you, there will be many adversaries. And to whom much is given, much is required. You see, looking unto Jesus involves another factor, and it's this. Jesus doesn't just want us to name His name. He wants us to take on His character. And quite frankly, Santa Claus doesn't develop much character in anybody. Some people treat Jesus like He's Santa Claus in their life, like He's their sugar daddy. Some people treat Jesus like He's a slot machine. But God is interested in putting the character of Christ into us. Amen? And Jesus is no quitter. God is wanting us to raise the standard in our lives of honesty, integrity, patience, love, joy, peace, power, and endurance to take on the character of Christ in our life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You can enjoy the luxury of wanting to quit if you know that you're resolutely not going to quit. What a testimony in your life for people to say of you, well, so and so, one thing I'll say about them, they're no quitter. Just because you've had a few thoughts, man, I'm getting tired, man, I want to quit, man, it's so hard, man, I just want to quit, I just don't want to preach. That's not necessarily a sin to have those thoughts. But just know and make up your mind, make a commitment to God tonight deep within you that you're not going to quit. No matter what comes, no matter how difficult the race becomes, you're going to get that Holy Spirit second wind in your life and you're going to finish. And you're not only going to finish limping across the finish line, you're going to finish strong because you've put your trust in Him. Don't struggle with the devil's condemnation that every time you have a thought that the devil condemning you for having that thought. Just don't act on it. If you have a thought to quit, just tell the devil, get out of my head, devil, but don't quit. Hallelujah to God. Don't quit. Don't give up. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to give you some helpful ideas here as I close this message tonight of things that might help you to keep from quitting. I'm getting this list from Tommy Barnett's book called Multiplication. Unlock the biblical factors to multiply your effectiveness in leadership and ministry. You need to pick up a copy of that book if you don't have one already. It's powerful. And I'm going to read what he has to say here on page 119 in a moment. We've already talked about many things that will keep us from quitting. Focusing on the power of God, focusing on Jesus Christ, putting our attention on Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us the greatest key right here in the second verse of Hebrews chapter 12 to run this race with endurance, looking unto Jesus. Here's some other things you can do. How about burning every bridge behind you so you can't go back and quit? How about just realizing today that every miracle necessitates another miracle? In other words, don't be complacent. Don't be stagnant in the miracle that God gave you last week. Keep believing Him this week for Him to do something new. That'll help you not to quit. If there's nothing to go back for, hey, then we've only got one option left. Move forward with God. Amen? Move forward with God. Don't tell people that you want to quit. You can share your feelings after God works a miracle in your life. But today's desire to quit might simply be, and hopefully is in your life, a momentary reaction and not an eternal direction. And thirdly, Brother Barnett says, don't expose yourself to what you don't want to be. If you don't want to be a failure, don't associate with failure. If you don't want to be a person of low character, don't associate yourself with people of low character. If you don't want to be a person that is left out of the last great move of God, then don't associate with people that are going to be left out of the move of God. You can witness to them, you can encourage them, you can pray for them, but don't associate with them. Don't form ties with them. And lastly, lock yourself into a vision from the Lord so that you cannot quit. One of the biggest things we lack in the Christian life is commitment. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. I like it, so I want to hear it again myself. Too many of God's people today are convenience Christians instead of commitment Christians. When you make a commitment to Christ, brother, if you were saved to begin with, you won't quit. That's what the Bible says. Lock yourself into a vision from God for your life. Lock yourself into a church. Lock yourself into a ministry. Lock yourself into the vision so that you can't quit. God's not raising up quitters. He's raising up a mighty army of victorious, overcoming, more than conqueror champions. Praise God. And so tonight, as I close this message, as I close this teaching tonight, let me encourage you. Don't quit. Don't give up. I don't care how black it appears to be. I don't care how dark the night. I don't care if it's rained every day for the last 3 months in your soul. I don't care if it seems like you're never going to get that vision that God promised you 10 years ago or 15 years ago, but it's tarried for lo this many times, lo these many years. Because if it's truly a vision from God, it will certainly come to pass, even though it tarry for a while. I want you to know tonight that there's a great legacy of faith, a cloud of witnesses that's surrounding us in these last days. The armies of heaven that are encamped around about the righteous. Yes, there's going to be tests. Yes, there's going to be trials and pressure. Yes, there's going to be temptations. We're in a battle, dum-dum. I'm being silly with you as far as that dum-dum part. Because I know you're not dumb, because if you were, you wouldn't be studying the Word of God. You're already halfway through the battle right now because you got this message. You're already halfway through the battle right now if you got a Bible. Don't quit. Don't let Satan barrage your life with one attack after another. Pick up your shield of faith and begin to repel the fiery darts of the wicked one. And let God use you in these last days. Let God propel you into your destiny in these last days. Let God challenge you every morning with a new anointing, with a new mercy from His throne. Let Him work a new work in your life every day. Never get complacent or satisfied with where you are or where you have been. Sometimes after we do great things for God, we think, well, man, there ain't nothing else left. Oh, there's plenty left. The half has never yet been told. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged and disheartened, child of God. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you'll just simply do this, keep your eyes on Jesus. You may have some thoughts. You may have some disturbing times. You may think that you're about to break and bend under the pressure of your position. But I want you to know, if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, He'll send you His anointing. He'll send you His power to accomplish the race, to finish your course, to keep the faith. If you keep your attention on Him, He'll send the power. If you try to take a shortcut along the way, you lose some of the power that He wants to send you. God will always give you a task that is greater than your power. And it's as we perform those tasks in the name of the Lord and for the cause of Christ that He sends the necessary power that we need to complete it. So when we take away from our task, we also take away from our power. Don't quit. And don't get discouraged. Because victory is just ahead. I can see the finish line in sight. Right now, look, there it is. God's about ready to call us home, to wrap it up. He's about ready to send Jesus and restore all things in the earth as it was in the beginning. This is no time to quit. And this is no time to sit on the bench. It's time to rise up in your destiny in God tonight. And I believe He wants to set you free to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You. I have preached my heart out today. And I ask, God, that You don't let these words that are Your words return unto You void. But, Father, accomplish the task. Accomplish what You sent them forth to do tonight in my brothers and my sisters. Father, build them up and strengthen them and lift them into Your mighty presence. And encourage them to not give up, to never quit. Even though sometimes we feel like we want to quit. But, Father, we're determined on the inside that we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. And we're going to focus our attention on the Son of God who gives us strength to endure. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to make Him Lord of your life today. It's a very simple thing to do, really. You just repent of your sin. Just say, Lord, forgive me. I know that I'm a sinner and I've tried to live my own way, but I lay that down now. I change my mind right now and I ask You to wash me in the blood of Jesus and forgive me of my sins, and I will serve You. And I'll follow after You for the rest of my days to the best of my ability. And when I lack ability, I will trust You to give me Your ability. And right now I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and I am saved. Praise God. If you have made a first-time commitment for Christ, or if you've been undergoing a severe attack and you need more encouragement, or maybe you've made a decision tonight to never quit, why don't you write to us? Faith and Family Ministry.